Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Hi, you're listening to my favorite Elliott Smith song. This is the podcast that's all about keeping Elliott Smith's legacy alive in our own very small way. And we do that by speaking to well-known fans about their favorite song of his. So hello, and thank you very much for joining us for this, our penultimate episode of 2018. Today, we're speaking to the musician Lindsay Jordan. Now, it's been a pretty busy year at My Favourite Elliott Smith Song HQ, but it's probably safe to say that Lindsay and her band Snail Mail have had an even busier year. They released their debut album Lush in the summer, and they've been touring pretty much ever since. So we were really lucky to catch her during some rare time off at her home near Baltimore in the United States to talk us through her pick for her favourite song, which is quite a left field choice, I have to say, as well as how she finds Elliott's rarer tracks and why she connects so much with music that's from the 90s. So here we go then. Here's the interview that I recorded with Lindsay.
Hi, what's up? I'm Lindsay Jordan from the band Snail Mail. The song that I picked is Dancing on the Highway.
Now, Dancing on the Highway is an interesting choice, and just in case people aren't familiar with the track, it was a song that was recorded as part of the Figure Eight sessions, but was never actually formally released. Just start by telling us why you've picked this song.
For me, it was about to be a 50-50 tie between Dancing on the Highway and Going Nowhere, but just recently in my life, I feel like the former has just been really relevant for me lyrically and musically. And I always feel like it, time and time again, I just feel like I can just like give it context and just really feel it no matter where I am in my life. I think just the way he describes whatever severed relationship or friendship or whatever is being referenced is just really gutting. And I think no matter what you're going through or who you are, I think you can, or at least I can kind of relate it to where I'm at in my life. And being on the road all the time, I feel like I've just kind of had to cut off a lot of friendships and say goodbye to a lot of people. And I think it's just like a really great farewell. It's a really great fond farewell.
So do you find touring difficult in that sense then?
Yeah, it's very difficult. I think it's one of the best parts because I kind of get to see the world and I get to meet a lot of amazing people, and it feels really fulfilling to be writing and then actually getting to play those songs for people, because I think a lot of being a songwriter is sort of like how you convey the songs in real life and how you are sort of able to keep them fresh and emotional as you play them hundreds and hundreds of times. So I love that. But I also, it gets really hard and you kind of have to, it's a very isolating, independent thing, even though you're around your bandmates and crew all the time. It's very singular in personal.
And now just going back to the song, what kind of connects you to it as a musician and a songwriter?
I find it to just be like really relatable, and the melody is just so catchy and sad and goes with the words so well. And also the instrumental in it is really beautiful, and I love all the different instrumentation, and it's just, yeah, it's just really heartbreaking. There's a part that's like, death surrounds, protects the living. This is what you said, and I agreed not to be so unforgiving. And yeah, I mean, obviously it's like vague. There's no way to know exactly what he's referencing or talking about, but it's just sounds really beautiful and poetic to me, and just clearly comes from something really sad and personal.
And if you look at the lyrics of the song, each line is really, really short. I mean, I don't think there's a line that's longer than, say, four words. Why do you think he's written it in this way?
It's just kind of like there's something to be said for like shortening your phrases and kind of making something brief in order to kind of give it that attitude of like dismissiveness and sort of just like not apathy, but brokenness almost. Like, almost like when you're, or at least when I'm writing, and I have kind of like copied this style before, I feel like it's just like, you know, if you're having a hard time with something and someone is trying to talk to you about it, like you don't necessarily want to write them a paragraph. You know what I mean? Like you give short answers, and I don't know, that's why I write in short verses like that. Something you have a hard time talking about, someone's like, so what happened? You're like, nothing. It's like a moody stylistic technique.
As we were saying before, Dancing on the Highway was recorded as part of the Figure Eight sessions. And you can hear the guitar loop from this track at the end of In the Lost and Found. Do you think this song would have been a good addition to Figure Eight?
Yeah, I think maybe as like a refrain or as like a part two or something of In the Lost and Found. I think it's just like, I don't know, it's one of a couple of my favorites, but it for me, it's just like, I think it cuts the deepest, and I think it fits really well with the other songs on Figure Eight. Yeah, I think it would have been a cool add-on or bonus or something.
And have you ever tried to play the song?
No, no. I actually was thinking about for the tour coming up, which starts in a couple days, about learning Going Nowhere, but I haven't started yet, so I guess we'll see. I always kind of want to do an Elliott Smith cover, but we tried to do a full band I Figured You Out, but it kind of sucked, so we put it aside.
Have you ever covered Elliott at all?
Yeah, well, I used to do like coffee shops when I was like 13 or 14, and I used to do a cover of Say Yes and Between the Bars. I think I did both.
So do you kind of steer away from covering him now?
Yeah, there's a lot of emotion there and a lot of experience that I still have no way of really even like fathoming, but at that time definitely had no way of understanding or feeling. So I always kind of felt like I was taking on a really huge thing and playing it. I mean, one of the reasons I feel like I almost kind of avoid playing the songs is just because there's so much there. And I think it's really hard to embody everything if it's something you haven't experienced, which is, I don't know, a big thing with playing other people's songs in general for me. I think especially his songs are so naked and emotionally vulnerable and specific. It's just, yeah, it's like, you know, you can feel it yourself when you're playing it, but it's hard to convey those ideas that aren't your own when they're so incredibly personal and strong.
So tell us how you got into Elliott's music.
I used to hang out at this record store in the city in Baltimore. And I think just by being around music people and just like seeing his records around and having like social media and stuff. But I remember just listening to Either Or for the first time all the way through and just really immediately connecting to it and just diving in and downloading everything and just, yeah, really falling in love. And now I feel like I'm discovering a lot of the unreleased stuff. And it still resonates so much with me. He's just one of those artists that I feel like his music never really fades for me. I always just feel like as my life changes, it kind of changes with the records. And I always feel like I can provide new context for them and give it new meanings in my own life.
And you said there that you were getting into the unreleased stuff. And obviously, Dancing on the Highway probably isn't the choice that springs to mind for most people. So how do you find these sort of these rare tracks?
I hate to say it, but sometimes like Reddit and like I just kind of scour blogs and YouTube. And I actually have quite a few friends who are like really big Elliott Smith heads. And I feel like it's something we all talk about a lot and sort of just like pass suggestions on to each other. But I feel like I'm just constantly looking for stuff I haven't heard. And there's like always something, which is cool.
You've said before in an interview that most of your favorite artists are from the 90s. Why is that, do you think?
I think it was sort of like a really raw time for songwriting where I think like a lot of like new types of genres were sort of like popping up. And I think people were kind of like, it seems like there's kind of a resurgence in this, that people are being more kind of open and raw with their lyrics. But it felt very like, yeah, I mean, I've said this so many times in this interview, but just like emotionally naked and vulnerable. I felt like there were like so many Sonic Youth songs, like early stuff, like Experimental Jet Set and like Washing Machine and stuff, where there's just like these like raw kind of like ballads where you wouldn't, I kind of think that kind of stuff is sort of hard to come by now, where the lyrics are just so up close. It's like they're like whispering like secrets in your ear or something. And I feel the same way about a lot of my other favorite bands and like a lot of Elliott Smith stuff and the Sundays. And it's a kind of hard thing to explain, but I feel like there's not, I haven't heard music from up until like kind of recently from other times that feels so like up close and personal and almost like it's like a secret.
Are there any elements of Elliott Smith you try and incorporate into your own work?
Yeah, I really love his guitar style. I think it's like really unique and hard to emulate. And his melodies are just, I don't feel like there's ever been anyone who's ever really successfully like done the same thing. And I really feel like it's really unpredictable. And even his songs that have more of a pop sensibility are still not, if you don't know what's coming next, you're not going to know what's coming next. And I really love that. And I really love like how just emotional and personal his live videos are from what I've been able to find on YouTube. It's just like kind of just feels like he's just like spilling his guts out to the world. And yeah, I think that's all you can really aim for as an artist and a musician, is just to be as emotional and personal as he was. I think it all ties together with like his lyrics and his live shows and his guitar playing. It all sort of just like feeds into the same thing that's so special for me. It's just the emotional element of things and how it's just really like there for the listener, which is a really hard thing to do as an artist. I feel like really putting everything out there for other people to take is just huge, and it's so difficult. And I think that's just like the mark of someone who truly cares about music and cares about the art that they're making.
Thanks then to Lindsay Jordan of Snail Mail for speaking to us on my favourite Elliott Smith song. If you haven't listened to her album Lush, then it's very much well worth it. Now, before I go, I just wanted to mention a couple of things. Firstly, a few people have been in touch asking for longer episodes, and it's great to hear we're not boring you. So we're going to start varying the length of episodes a bit, depending on what kind of stories we have from guests and how long we need to really do them justice. So if you have any more comments like that, then please do feel free to get in touch with us. You can contact us through our website, myfavoriteelliotsmithsong.com, through Twitter, through Instagram, or through Facebook. Lastly, we've got one more show coming out this year, which will be with you musician and actress Emily Kinney. That one will be out in a couple of weeks, so do stay tuned for that. And that's pretty much it for today. As always, thank you to Elizabeth Wood Stanley for production on this show, and thank you very much for listening to it. See you soon.